This is the AYG List with April Yvonne Garrett, a part of the Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio.
On the AYG List, I talk with fascinating people, some at the top of their game, others still climbing, all possessing an uncommon commitment to owning their stories and achieving their visions. I'm not a journalist. I'm a deep thinker, a conversationalist. I won't be engaging my guests as a passive, neutral moderator. I have a perspective, an opinion on just about everything. I also navigate sometimes complex conversations that unpack and contextualize current events with thoughtful individuals who represent a diverse array of well-informed and passionately articulated perspectives. In this space, I hope to deepen, broaden, and sometimes even shift my own opinion by opening myself up to the thoughtful insights of others. I invite you to join me on this journey.
Hang out with April on Facebook, peek into her world on Instagram, and follow her on Twitter at the AYG List. Visit her inspiration, lifestyle, and social commentary blog at theayglist.com. And now, April Yvonne Garrett.
Jackson's Honest Chips wants you to change the way you think about potato chips. Using the healthiest, most nourishing oil available, coconut oil, Jackson skillfully crafts their potato chips in small batches using only the simplest ingredients like potatoes, coconut oil, and salt. From the field, the farmer, and the fryer to you, their goal is to bring the potato chip back to its humble and simple roots by using the finest organic heirloom potatoes and kettle frying them using organic coconut oil. Jackson sources potatoes from small-scale family farmers that they know and trust, who use organic or biodynamic methods on their farms and never use GMO varieties of vegetables. They also purchase the highest-grade organic cold-pressed coconut oil from companies that use traditional coconut oil extraction techniques and use sea salt for its many trace minerals. Today, I speak with its CEO, Megan Reamer, a mother of four whose son Jackson's medical condition inspired this wholesome, paleo-friendly, gluten-free, and vegan product. Megan, thank you so much for taking some time to visit me today on the AYG List.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So are you in Colorado right now?
Yes.
You're in Crested Butte, Colorado, correct?
Yeah, we live in Crested Butte. It's a little mountain town about 200 miles southwest of Denver on the western slope.
Must be gorgeous. I love Colorado as a state. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I learned about your product because I, in the last 2 years, have become obsessed with all things coconut, especially coconut oil. And so on my Twitter, I follow, you know, products that I love, and I think it might have been Coconut Bliss, my favorite ice cream.
My favorite, too.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good. I've gotten my mom turned on to it because my mom has a bit of an ice cream habit, and I've been trying to make sure that her intake is healthier, and she loves it, so I'm always kind of, you know, flirting with them and telling them how wonderful they are. It's a big feat to get my mom to get away from traditional ice cream to love a coconut-based ice cream. But I think they had some kind of interaction with you where I discovered your product, and I thought, I want to see what's going on, because I had gotten to the point where all things in the chip variety started to really bother me because I could start to feel the heaviness and the taste of it. And plus, when my food intake IQ increased, everything got really, it became a very different ballgame for me in looking at what I'm consuming and what the ingredients were. And then I discovered your site. And I have to tell you, I fell in love first with you and your family, and then I had to know more about this product. So I wanted to bring you on the show this Women's History Month because I feel like what you're doing is very centered in a sort of women's empowerment that I want my audience to know about that is very connected to family and community and land and food. So that is the reason why I've invited you on the show, and I'm so happy to have you here. First of all, tell me about this process of even coming to think differently about food and why it was so important for you and your family.
So our chips are named Jackson's Honest Chips, and they're named after my son Jackson. And I think, you know, a lot like you already stated, just in this experience that we went through with Jackson made us very aware, much more aware of ingredients in the foods we were eating. So we'd always eaten, you know, organic and as non-processed as possible, and certainly nothing with food dyes or preservatives or additives, and just thought we were eating this really clean diet, basically. And so, you know, those are all the things my son Jackson was eating as a child, as a baby, and he was healthy. He was born, he's 12 years old, so he was born healthy and met all of his milestones and was walking and talking. And then kind of around right before he turned two, probably around 18 months or 19 months, he started to, I don't want to say get sick, he just started to seem lethargic and tired a lot. But he was still doing everything he could do, walking, talking, all of that stuff. And you know, the doctors really weren't taking us seriously. I was sort of calling them and saying, hey, he just seems tired. He doesn't seem like he wants to move as much. Well, you know, since he wasn't losing any function and he was still, quote-unquote, healthy, nobody was too concerned. But that lethargy just started to increase where he did stop moving as much as he had been. He preferred to crawl instead of walk when he'd been walking. And, you know, whenever he was trying to move, it was like he was moving through sand or something super heavy where it just seemed very labored. And then he started to lose some skills. And and we started noticing it in his feet where he was sort of, I don't want to say had these postures, but had these positions that he hadn't had before, where it was almost like he had a dropped foot, and it seemed sort of weaker. And we thought, you know, it seemed strange. So we were going to visit some doctors and see what was going on. And then that process of having some abnormal movements or having, you know, being a little off balance just kept increasing where, you know, like I said, we noticed it in his feet, and it slowly moved up his body. So now the doctors are starting to get concerned, and we're going for diagnostic testing every other week and having MRIs and CAT scans, and nothing's showing up, but he's actively losing more function, and it's going up his body. So over the course of the next 2 years, he lost all of his motor function. There was a point in time where he was dragging his lower half behind him, but he still had trunk control and head control and could still feed himself. And then, you know, that slowly lost that as well. So at this point, he's lost all gross and fine motor skills. And one of the things that started to become very affected was his GI and his digestion. He was, you know, still eating all these healthy foods, but he wasn't absorbing them. And we noticed that carbohydrates really aggravated his neurological symptoms. And by symptoms, I mean when you lose your motor skills, you start to get these abnormal reflexive positions, right? Kind of like a lot like an infant does, a newborn,
right.
when they have these weird positions that, not weird, they're normal, but they grow out of them as their nervous system develops. Well, he got those back. And so he would get into these positions that were very uncomfortable for him, that he couldn't move out of. And when he would eat carbs and when he'd eat some sugars, those positions increased, and those abnormal postures increased. So what we started pulling those out of his diet, basically carbs, and replacing them with healthy fats, things that were traditional fats like animal fats, lard, tallow, cod liver oil, coconut oil. And so in replacing the carbs with those fats, we started noticing that he wasn't getting into those postures as much, and he was sleeping better, and he was starting to fill out a little bit better. And while we still didn't know neurologically what was going on, we knew that we were helping to ease his discomfort, his daily discomfort, by changing his diet and changing his nutritional profile radically.
What led you to making those particular choices? I mean, you know, you're going to the doctor, and I want to kind of focus on this point in particular, because I know there are people who have children or people who have loved ones, and it can be very difficult to navigate when you have traditional doctors saying, we don't know, or we can't give you the proper information. I know you and your husband are two really, really smart people, but it's also your child. That's tough. So how in the world did you start to even think, okay, this is the direction that we're going to go to try to figure out what's happening with Jackson?
You know, I have a very analytical husband who I think felt like his degree, his background in chemical engineering, and I think for him it was a lot easier to to stay detached in a certain way and stay very mm-hmm. focused on trying to solve this problem. For me, I was a lot more emotionally wound up in what the doctors were telling us. And when we were leaving, you know, they'd just say, good luck. I hope you find out what's wrong, because we don't know. It's not our specialty. It's not something genetic. It's not something infectious. It's not something immunological. And so, you know, for him, it was really this, I need to get to the bottom of this. This, there's an answer, and I'm going to solve it. And you know, we were so helpless. The nutritional angle was the only way we felt like we could intermediate and try to control it, because we knew that there were things that were bothering it. So in taking those out, we had to put something else back in. We had a really good cookbook that we used as a resource called Wise Traditions, and it's published by, it was written by Sally Fallon, published by the Weston A. Price Foundation. And that whole premise of that cookbook is traditional fats and nourishing food and really kind of going back to the basics of how probably your grandmother cooked and made everything from scratch and making right. broth and all of those things from bones, like getting beef bones and getting the marrow out and using just everything. We knew everything he ate needed to be as nutritionally sound as possible, because we needed to jam as many calories into his body at every feeding as possible. So mm-hmm. that was kind of the resource we used to try to do that. And then we just sort of went from there. I mean, we were really feeding him what would be called now a paleo diet back then, 10 years ago, and having to get these foods that are now available at your local Whole Foods, like grass-fed beef and liver, and we were ordering those online. And just once we started seeing a slight change, we knew we had to continue what we were doing. But I think my husband stayed really clear and really focused on this being the way that we could try to control it on some level, because everything else seemed so out of our control.
You talked about the changes that you went through in the diet, but how did you come up with this chip? Because clearly you couldn't just go off the shelf and, you know, buy typically what was there. Why buy the Jackson's Honest chip?
Well, that's why we started making them, because we couldn't buy any chips that we liked on the shelf. We were, you know, as part of changing Jackson's diet, everyone's diet changed.
Yeah.
So Jackson is my oldest child. I have four kids, and they range from 12 to 4 years old. So he and my next child are just 18 months apart. So really when this started with Jackson, I was having my second child. And so when we started changing all of our diets, we were obviously reading labels, like you said you've been doing, just really looking at ingredients. And I think that people really understand the changes needed around carbohydrates, and they're really understanding proteins and different protein sources. But fats are sort of the last area, the last large food group that people are really starting to analyze. Hey, you know, maybe these vegetable oils aren't as healthy as I've been led to believe, or that I've, you know, always thought them to be. And so I think people are really starting to question or demand different ingredients on an oil level or a fat level. So when we couldn't find them ourselves, when we couldn't find them on the shelf, we decided to just start making them ourselves as a snack. So we've been making them forever for our own family and for our friends. And then I think probably in the past few years, as coconut items, I'd say, coconut water, coconut oil for sure, have become a lot more on the conscious of people and having them understand that there are substitutions that you can make and that there are different choices you can make on an oil level, as well as consuming coconut water, and that it's a nutrient-dense water to drink. I think that people, we just had a lot of feedback from people of, hey, these are great. Have you ever thought of selling these and putting them in a bag and trying to sell them as a chip? And so for us, that was, you know, that was daunting, and it's not something we had a lot of experience with. We don't have, neither one of us had any consumer products experience. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think at the end of the day, it's been a really positive way for us to share Jackson's story. You know, as a family, gone through this very traumatic event, and it just feels like a nice way to share what worked for him, what worked for our family, and what nutritional changes can do for your health.
Let's talk a little bit on the business end. You said it was daunting. You had all these fans, including your kids and your family and your friends, and all of a sudden It was a business idea. So tell me a little bit about how the business idea became this brand that so many people love. And you also have this wonderful way of getting it placed in all these great places where people who are in the know can really spread not only the message about your brand and your food, but also the message about Jackson.
We've been really lucky, I'd say, quite honestly. We did everything we needed to do to start this company, right? So we did the nutritional panel and the profile, and we got some bags. Initially, when we started making them, we were just making snack size because we made them by hand for a long time. Mm. So we kind of did all of this pre-work, I'd say, 9 months before we started selling them, and we started selling them in July 2012. And we just did it in our little health food store in Crested Butte, which is Crested Butte is a town of about 2,000 people. So we have this tiny little health food store, and then there's another one 30 miles away. And so it took us a few weeks to make any kind of inventory to give to the health food store and try to figure out a wholesale price versus a retail price. And,
right.
So we sliced them by hand and fried them and packaged them in this little commercial kitchen in Crested Butte and took them over to the health food store. And the next day, you know, my friend who owns the health food store called me and said, hey, we ran out of chips. Do you think you can bring some more over? And do you have bigger bags? And we need different flavors.
Oh, my gosh.
That took us weeks to make 30 small bags because my husband has a totally separate job. So that process of people trying them, liking them, you know, going to their local health food store and asking them to start stocking them has just been this real grassroots effort where we've had retailers calling us saying, hey, we've had a bunch of customers come in and ask for your chips. Can you send us some samples? We want to start selling them. And that's really how it started. We started selling them online in September 2012, and it really took off once we started that. So we were still making them by hand until April 2013, so about a year ago.
Wait. Are you serious? You were making them by hand until...
Oh my gosh, yes. We were making them every night till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. You're a mother of four.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, it was... We were exhausted. But we were so... we were just so happy that people liked what we were doing, honestly. Like, when we didn't know if people would understand why we were using coconut oil. And so it was just very, you know, reaffirming to have this response to why we were doing this and what we were using in it. I mean, we were getting all of our potatoes from local farmers that lived about 60 miles or 70 miles away from our town, and they were bringing them to the farmers market every Sunday, and we were buying them from them. And it was a good little setup that we had, but we just couldn't keep up with the demand at all. Mm-hmm. So we started working with somebody in Denver in April of 2013 to help us make the chips on a larger scale. And then we've just been lucky, I'd say, or we've just had these opportunities that have come up as far as, like you said, people relating to our story, liking our ingredients, larger retailers understanding that their customers would like them, and we've just had this really positive response.
That's wonderful. I want to go back a little bit, though, because you talk about how you changed your diet, and I know this also influences how you created this product for us to consume. You talked about the paleo diet, something that a lot of people are starting to talk about now. I think there's a lot of confusion about it, but also making sure that your sources are organic, local, and you also talk about a seasonal diet as well as the importance of the types of fats that are consumed. One of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show is because I believe in the way that you tell the story about your company and what is important to you about giving people a food source that you're creating is what actually shapes it. But I do think there's a lot of misinformation, if not an abundance of information, that can be a little confusing to people who are interested in trying to figure out how to slowly but surely navigate away from some of the things that they know are less healthy for them. So could you talk to me a little bit about how you would encourage others to start to investigate these things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, I think that we just started to substitute, right? We started really pulling grains out of our diet. We were eating rice, or we'd eat different types of grains, but we would soak them first and then cook them. So we were doing that for a while, but then we ended up pulling them out altogether. And just substituting if, I mean, I guess I never, we never really used canola oil or sunflower or vegetable or anything like that, but I think that'd probably be a good first step to just start start looking at some small changes you can make, and then those small changes gradually get larger when you start feeling differently. I don't want to say better. I think you eventually, you know, that's a byproduct. You start to feel better, maybe have more energy, and but you just start to feel a little differently, less sluggish maybe, or, you know, you can try to identify, hey, I want to start eating less sugar. And in doing that, you can just start substituting other things for what maybe a processed sugar, you start substituting fruit in instead, and then you start substituting something instead of the fruit. And, you know, you might eat a beef jerky instead of an apple and see how that makes you feel full longer. You know, those sort of small changes, I think, gradually become bigger. I think it's very intimidating to try to say, I'm going to go from eating, you know, a traditional diet of 3 square meals a day with these components to a full paleo diet. I mean, that seems self-defeating because it's such a radical lifestyle change, really. So I think trying to do it on in small baby steps is probably the best way to do it. And then I think those baby steps reach a point where you're like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to go whole hog here and change. And that's where there's this turning point. But I think there's some really good resources. I know there's a great book called Practical Paleo. It's a cookbook by Diane Sanfilippo. She really lays it out as far as trying to substitute certain areas of your diet and how to take initial steps to make these substitutions, where at the end of it you're like, oh, hey, I'm full on paleo now. You know, it's a lot more gradual.
Tell me how this has been as a movement for your family. How are your kids and your husband, how is this all affecting all of you? How are you feeling about all of this?
I think, gosh, you know, I feel like I'm going to start crying right now. I don't want to. I think that everybody's been surprised by the reception we've had to sharing Jackson's story. So, you know, when this happened, we really circled the wagons around him, so to speak. And I don't want to say shut him off from everyone else, but there were a lot of people who watched helplessly while we were going through this with Jackson, who really wanted to participate and really wanted to support us in some way. And, you know, we didn't know what we needed. They didn't know what we needed. And so I think that this experience and having friends and family be able to support this company and this movement, this journey that we're on with him right now, has been the most positive part for us. My other kids in particular, you know, they don't know Jackson any differently, so for them to be able to see the response to sharing Jackson's story, people liking the chips because, hey, they taste great, but we're also really touched by what your family's been through, and we want to help support that. They've seen that, and they've heard people say that to me. When I'm doing demos at Whole Foods, you know, they hear people come up and say those things to me. So for them, I think that's the biggest plus, and that's the biggest benefit.
And that's really beautiful. And you didn't cry, but if you did, it would be fine.
I was on the verge.
I know, I can feel it. I've been wanting to, like I said at the top of this, I've been wanting to share your product, but also this beautiful, lovely story. And, you know, they're not in my area on the East Coast yet, and we need to change that. And I go into all of my organic and healthy stores, and I ask for it. So I'm going to ask that my audience does that as well. But how can people find you online, and what major stores are you with, and what area are you? But also just how can they follow you on social media as well?
Yeah, so we are primarily located in a lot of retailers west of the Mississippi. I don't know, I think it's because we live in Colorado, so we've really focused on our general geographical region. So we are selling them in all natural grocers by Vitamin Cottage stores. They have 71 retail locations in 13 states. There are some in the Midwest as well, but mostly in the Western U.S. We sell them in the Rocky Mountain region of Whole Foods. We sell them in the Pacific Northwest region of Whole Foods. We are throughout California. We're selling them in different co-ops right now and independent mom-and-pop health food stores. We are also selling them online, and our website is jacksonshonestchips.com or just honestchips.com. Either one will take you there. On social media, we're Jackson's Honest Chips. On Twitter, we're at Honest Chips. And so I think there are a bunch of ways to get plugged into our story and to the news about where we're selling them and any kind of information that we'd like to share. We're hoping to have some new flavors in the spring in May, and that's something we've been sharing online as well, what those flavors are going to be and when they'll be available. So
that's great.
Our focus is on increasing our distribution east of the Mississippi. Once he makes more chips and have the inventory that we can support that.
Okay, good, because we want it. I wanted to ask you, because you've had such great support, what are some of the notable supporters of your brand that kind of surprised you and touched you the most?
I've just been surprised by the amount of people who are reading labels. And I guess for a long time, my husband and I both thought we were sort of freaks because we were really reading everything so diligently. And we felt alone in doing that because there wasn't a product that we saw on the shelf and we were thinking, well, this doesn't seem to be on anybody else's radar, so why is it so much on ours, right? I mean, we knew why it was for Jackson, but we really felt like we were sort of the only ones doing this. And it turns out, once we started making these chips and sharing them, we are not. There are a lot of people who are concerned about every ingredient in the product that they're eating, not just whether there are food dyes in it or whether there are preservatives in it. So I've been really touched by the number of parents who've emailed me and said, I really appreciate you making this product. You know, my family has to change our diet because we have a child who, you know, is gluten-free or has celiac or has some challenging behavioral issues, and we've removed these things from their diet. So that's been really rewarding to me, to connect with other parents who are going through, you know, similar situations and value what we're doing. I think I've been surprised by the large retailers, too. Natural Grocers by Vitamin Cottage has been wonderfully supportive in our story and in our product. And, you know, they were the first ones to say, you know, we want this in all of our stores. It was a big break for us, and we're very thankful for that. We've been really supported by Whole Foods as well, and I think I was surprised by the level of support we've received from them, because I think of them as a larger corporation, but there's this very human element to what they're trying to do and what they'd like to support, and our story and why we're doing this is certainly one of those things. So I've met a lot of wonderful people on this journey so far, and it's been just uplifting for me, because I've had, you know, I've been reluctant to share Jackson's story on a certain level because it's still very emotional for me.
Sure.
It's been lovely to get the reception that we have.
That's great. At this point, I know that my listeners are going to be very, very curious about the handsome Jackson. He is so handsome, by the way. You have a gorgeous family.
Thank
Your family
you.
Is absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
He has still not been diagnosed with anything. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct. We most recently in September traveled to Bethesda to the National Institute of Health, and they have an undiagnosed disease program there, which I can't say enough wonderful things about. The team of researchers and specialists that we met with for a week-long workup were head and shoulders above anything we've done so far, really intelligent, smart people. And they are getting pretty close to a diagnosis for him. We don't have one yet. But when we spoke to them at length about these changes that we've made for Jackson, one of the things they believe that he has the primary thing is this autoimmune disorder that becomes autoinflammatory, and the inflammation is what causes the neurological issues, dysfunction.
Okay.
And in changing Jackson's nutritional profile as drastically as we did, what they believe and we believe happened is that we substantially decreased the inflammatory state in his body and gave him foods unknowingly at the time. But on a certain level, you know, we knew what those healthy fats, the components, the chemical components of those fats were. So we suspected that what we were doing was changing something physiologically in his body that was stabilizing him. And that's basically what happened. By decreasing that inflammatory state, we were able to alter any more neurological dysfunction and downward spiral that was happening and just kind of start reaching this steady state for him. So no, we don't have a diagnosis. We're getting really close, and he is very happy and you know, healthy. He doesn't require visits to the hospital. He's not sickly. He's actually, you know, cognitively still very much a 12-year-old boy, so he understands everything going on around him. He just has these real physical limitations.
Well, I'm sure that I speak for everyone who knows you and who knows about your story and your family story and Jackson's story when I say thank you, first of all, for opening up your process to us. I cannot imagine how many countless people you've helped just by sharing the story alone, but then you went the step further of creating something for all of us to consume that will get us on a better journey with our diet and our health, which I think is pretty extraordinary, because a lot of times when people are facing that kind of very deep and all-consuming way of trying to deal with something that's happening for them and a loved one, you know, you just kind of focus and you drill down. You drilled down, but you also expanded it to all of us as a gift, and that is the reason why I wanted you on my show. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are and having your vision and your spirit. I thank you and your family for opening up your lives to us to be such a beautiful witness for what is possible. I'm rooting for Jackson. I'm rooting for the healthcare industry to get it together so we can figure out what's going on with him. And I'm rooting for everybody that's in, you know, healthy food communities that are constantly, diligently, and lovingly trying to do this work to get all of us to be in a place where we're healthier and more aware of what's going on with people around us so that we can be an aid to them all. So thank you so much for what you provide for all of us. And I'm so happy to share you with my audience, and come back anytime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our story.
After this interview, I sent a tweet to my favorite store, Mom's Organic Market, to encourage them to carry Jackson's Honest Chips. Within hours, they made my wish a reality. So, East Coasters, soon you'll be able to get Honest Chips at Mom's Markets throughout the DMV. Way to go, Moms.
You've been listening to the AYG List with April Yvonne Garrett, a part of the Tavis Smiley Network on Blog Talk Radio. The AYG List posts every Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. April would love to hear from you on Facebook and Twitter, and invite you to take a peek into her world on Instagram at the AYG List. Also, visit her inspiration, lifestyle, and social commentary blog, theayglist.com. Thank you for listening.